Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to South Lansing Christian Church. My name is Frank. I'm the pastor here, and we're just delighted to have you with us today. Pastor is just one of the identities that I wear. I'm also a husband. My wife is named Tracy. She and my oldest or youngest son, which, you know, I'm also a father, that they're back in Kids City this morning working with your children, teaching them about God's love. And so, you know, I was thinking this morning about all the different identities that I have. Okay, I'm a minister, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a Spartan fan. We've got all of these identities that we wear, right, that we have. It's interesting, yesterday I was at the Spartan game, and I was conflicted because they were playing Indiana, and I'm an Indiana boy. And a matter of fact, people kind of looked at me weird when I'm standing there in my Spartan gear, and I'm singing the Indiana fight song along with the band as they're playing the fight song, you know. And then I see this guy down here with this Indiana, it was an Indiana championship shirt. So that tells you it was basketball and not football, right? So he's down here with this Indiana shirt, and you know, I'm kind of shy. So I'm like, yo, Hoosier! And he turns around, he looks up, and I waved him up, and we kind of met in the middle. We started talking. Where are you from? I'm from Indianapolis. Where are you from? I'm from the Fort Wayne area. Oh, really? Yeah, well, actually, I'm not. He says, I'm not from Fort Wayne. I'm from the little town of Hamilton. No way! You're from Hamilton. I lived in Butler for 10 years. I said, hey, do you happen to know so-and-so, this family? He's like, well, I know their nephew, Tyler. I'm like, you know Tyler Wolf? Yeah, I know Tyler Wolf. I said, I married Tyler and his wife. I did their wedding. He's like, I was at that wedding. Welcome to Indiana, right? And it's just crazy, you know, here's this guy and he wears this IU shirt and there's me, you know, from Indiana. And all of a sudden we have this sort of instant connection over this shared identity that we have. Now, I want you to think about all of the different identities that you have, right? And if we could talk through it, probably a lot of the ones that I have, you have also. You're a child, or maybe, you know, you're a child of your parents. You're a sibling. You know, you've got a brother, you've got a sister. Maybe you're a husband, maybe you're a wife. Maybe you've got children of your own, so that makes you a mom or a dad. Maybe you're an employee of such and such a company, or perhaps you're a student at some school or some university. We have all of these different identities that we wear, and we express those in different ways, don't we? Like, I see Walter this morning, he has his Thrive shirt on. So Walter is representing Thrive. He's part of Thrive, our young adult small group. We have all these different identities that we wear, and sometimes it's easy for us to forget our primary identity. It's easy for us to forget that which identifies us first and foremost above any other identity, and that is, as a creation of God, you are a child of God. You were a child of God before you were a child of your mom and dad. The Psalms say that God knit us together in our mother's womb. God created you. He created me. You're His child first and foremost. That's your primary identity. But so often, we can forget that. We can forget that we're God's child. And we begin to identify ourselves in other ways. I mean, how many of you have ever identified yourself as failure? Maybe you failed out of school. Maybe you messed up. Maybe you got fired from a job. Maybe your marriage didn't work out the way you'd hoped it would. And so you begin to identify yourself as a failure. That's your identity. That's the lanyard that you wear around your neck. You have failed. Or maybe it's underachiever, right? You had these lofty expectations, or maybe your parents did. These huge expectations of you, that you would do this, or that you would become that, and you never seem to be able to reach those expectations, and so you see yourself as an underachiever, right? We wear all of these different identities, and a lot of times those identities that we place on ourselves can begin to cloud our primary identity as God's child, and we lose sight of the fact that God loves us as His children, and more than anything else, God wants to be near His children. God wants to be near you. Now, I've learned more about this as my children have gotten older and have left the nest, right? I was just talking to somebody today, you know, 48 years old. Oh, man, I'm staring 50, right? I'm like 50, freaking out a little bit about 50. My kids have all grown up and they've all left, and praise God, they've not come back. So they've, you know, that's been good. No, but they're welcome back, right? Because here's the thing. Tracy and I are learning what it's like to have dinner and our kids' feet are not beneath the table. You know what I'm talking about? For years and years and years, that was, you know, we'd sit down as a family together, and me at one end of the table, her at the other end of the table, two on one side, one on the other. And our kids' feet are beneath the table, and we're just, you know, we're doing life together, and we're loving our family. And now that doesn't happen, right? I've got a daughter in Australia. I've got a son who lives over by Detroit. Another son who's, he resides at home. I can't really say he lives at home because he's never there. He leaves the house at 8 in the morning, gets home at 10 at night, right? And more than anything else, what we want is for our kids to come home. And we're excited because our daughter's doing that. She's going to be home from Thanksgiving to Christmas all the way from Australia. And we're so excited to have our children home. Here's what I want you to understand. That's what God wants for you. God wants you to come home because He wants to be near you. Now, for some of you who, for a long time, when you would sit down at the table with God, your feet were beneath His table, and you and God would share life together, you'd do life together. There was an intimate relationship between you and God, but at some point along the way, you moved off to Australia, you went off on your own little walkabout, you did your own thing, and you walked away from God. And somehow, the devil's convinced you that you can't go back home, but more than anything else, what God wants for you is to just come home. To rest your feet beneath His table. To share that intimate time with Him. And you can come home. And yet the devil seems to be in the back of your mind saying, you can't really do that. You can't come home. God's not going to accept you. That's not the way it works. Some of you, the only time you've ever really been near to God was when He was knitting you together in your mom's womb, right? You've never really been close to God. And this whole idea of going back home to God feels foreign to you because you've never been close to Him. And so it just seems odd to even think that you could go home because home is such an unfamiliar place to you. Here's something else I'm learning about that. We used to live in Grand Ledge. My wife and I moved from Grand Ledge into the city about 2 years ago. And so my daughter, my oldest son, they'd already left home by the time we moved from Grand Ledge into the Maple Hill neighborhood. And even though my youngest son lived with us during that move and continues to live at our home, it still, you know, wasn't kind of like, it wasn't the house he grew up in, right? It's just this new house where he lives. And even though my daughter and my oldest son have never lived at 731 Ridgewood Avenue, they've never lived there, they talk about coming home. Hey, we're going to be home for Thanksgiving. Hey, we're going to be home this weekend. They talk about coming home because home for them isn't 731 Ridgewood Avenue. Home for my children is wherever Dad is. Home for them is, you know, wherever Dad and Mom are at. That's where home is for them. So even if you've never really been close to God, here's what you need to know today. You can come home because home is wherever the Father is. Your Heavenly Father, He wants you to come home. And we have a hard time believing that. We have a hard time convincing ourselves of that. And so over the past few weeks, we've been learning how we can find our way back to God. We've been learning how we can find our way home. And we've been learning that finding your way home is really a process. And that there are five awakenings that we experience during that process. And we've kind of walked through Luke chapter 15 and looked at this young man who's had a similar experience to what many of us have had. He walked away from the Father and wondered if he could come back. And what we learned is that this young man experienced these same awakenings that many of us experience on our way back to God. Luke chapter 15, if you have your Bible, you can turn there to Luke 15, or you can follow along using our app, our South Lansing Christian Church app. You can find that at the Google Play Store or at the Apple iTunes Store. The first awakening that many of us experience when we've walked away from God is an awakening to longing. We long for something more. There's a longing for meaning. There's a longing for purpose. There's a longing for love. Maybe it's a longing for fulfillment. We've just got this longing for something more. And so we go searching for it in some far-off distant country. We walk away from God, just like this young man in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Here's this young man. He has this longing for, we're not sure, love, meaning, purpose, fulfillment, we're not sure, but that longing caused him to leave his father to go and search. And that's what a lot of us sometimes do. We leave home, we leave our Heavenly Father to go in search of something elusive, that something more. There's this longing that we have that there must be something more. And so we set off for a distant country. And sometimes that distant country is just in pursuit of stuff, right? We just go and we try to collect stuff. For sometimes we go and we try to collect experiences and we just do all these different things, right? For some of us, we end up in that far off country, burdened by debt, burdened by habits or addictions. And we're longing for something more. And so we leave home, we leave God, and we go looking. And it's at that point that many of us experience a second awakening that all of us have on our way back to God. An awakening to regret, just like this young man. We wake up at some point and we ask ourselves, man, how did I get here? I never thought I'd find myself in this situation, but how did I get here? What was I thinking? And that's what this young man experienced. Look at verse 17. So here's this kid. He's out in the field. He's feeding pigs. He's starving. He'd just soon eat the pig food if he could. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, and I will go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." When you awaken to regret, right? A lot of times the situation's got to be really dire before we come to our senses and determine to go back to God. And you know what? That's where many of us have been, right? We've been in dire circumstances. We've been in divorce court. We've, you know, experienced chapter 7, chapter 11, chapter 13. We've experienced that. Well, we find ourselves bound by addiction. We find ourselves on the outside looking in. We find ourselves without the job, or we find ourselves not doing well in school or whatever we've been pursuing. And so we have this regret. And we realize, you know, what I need to do is I need to go back to the Father. The only way that can happen is if we experience a third awakening. There's an awakening to longing, an awakening to regret. The third awakening is awakening to help. It's this realization that I can't do it on my own. I need some help. And that's what this young man experienced. He had this awakening to help. He said, "I can't do it on my own, so I'm going to go back to my father." And look at what happened when he went back. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now I want you, if you can, I want this morning for you to put yourself in this young man's shoes. What would your reaction be? Because you've played this out in your mind over and over and over again. Right? You walked away from your father. You basically said to your father, give me my share of the estate. In other words, Dad, I wish you were dead so that I could have my money now, right? And you went and you squandered that. You lived in some far-off country. You wasted everything you had. Now you finally come to your senses and you decide you're going to go back to your father. And the whole way home, you're thinking in your mind about what that's going to be like, what that encounter is going to be like. And then all of a sudden, you encounter Dad, and before you can even get the words out of your mouth, Dad runs to you, he throws his arms around you, and he begins to smother you with kisses. What's your reaction? I'm guessing if you're like me, your reaction is disbelief, mind blown, right? How can this is not what I expected. And so my reaction, maybe yours too, would probably be like this son here in verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Did you hear the words that the son says to the father here? I'm no longer worthy. I'm not worthy. That is shame speaking. This may have been the first time that the son said these words to his father. This probably, you know, the first time the son vocalizes these words to his father and says, I'm not worthy. But I guarantee you, these are not the first time that this son said these words to himself. Over and over on that way home, he must have been playing that over and over in his mind. I am not worthy. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. And that's because shame has an incredibly powerful soundtrack. And if you've experienced shame, you know what I'm talking about. Shame is an incredibly powerful soundtrack whispering in the back of your mind, you don't really matter. You're not lovable. You can't be forgiven. No more second chances for you. Shame fills you with self-condemnation. And we find ourselves repeating those words over and over again. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve this. And if we're honest, that's exactly the way some of us respond to the grace of God. Right? You live in some far-off place, far away from God, and then God comes along and He forgives you. He runs to meet you. He embraces you, wraps His arms around you, showers you with kisses. And the immediate response is, I don't deserve this. And you somehow can't believe it's true. That's why for you, for me, for everyone who finds their way back to God, we need a fourth awakening. We need to awaken to God's love. We need to awaken to God's love and realize that we can, in fact, begin again. We can get a second chance, a fresh start with God. Listen, you and I cannot fathom the depths of God's love. We just can't. It's hard for us to understand just how much God loves us. Growing up in Indiana in the little church where I grew up, we sang the hymns, right? The traditional songs. And there was this one song that I just absolutely loved. It's an interesting song because it's based on an ancient rabbinical poem, an 11th century, right? So like 1090 something, this poem was written. And Orthodox Jews today still recite this poem
at Shavuot, when the feast that comes along every year where they celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments and also the wheat harvest takes place, the Orthodox Jews still recite this poem, this 11th century poem. And in 1917, this Christian came along and he wrote this song based on this poem. It's about the love of God. And the second verse, which is just so beautiful in depicting God's love, goes like this. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's how much your God loves you. That's how much God loves us. I mean, if the ocean was filled with ink and the sky was made out of parchment and every corn stalk on earth was a quill, a writing pen, to write write about the love of God would drain the ocean. That's how much God loves you, and that's how much God loves me. And so my question for you today is, what's it going to take for you to get that? What's it going to take for you to really believe, not just here, but also here in your heart, in your soul? What's it going to take for you to believe that your God loves you that much? Because here's what I know. You will never experience fully the love of God until you understand your identity as a child of God. That's why identity is so important in us understanding who we are in God's sight, right? Because you'll never experience God's love until you get that your primary identity, you're a child of God. Now, you may be a child who's wandered far from Him. You may be a child who you've been living your life apart from Him your whole life. But when you get that you're a child of God and that He longs for you to come home and He wants you to put your feet under His table and rest in His care, when you get that, only then will you experience the love of God. If you're not sure about that, you only have to go back to the story in Luke chapter 15 and remember these characters. Who do the characters represent in Luke chapter 15? Well, the son, the wayward child, the prodigal, that's you, that's me. We've wandered far from God. The father in this story, that's our heavenly Father. He's the one who runs to find us. He's the one who comes to us when we are estranged from Him. And look at the father's reaction in this story. The son's back to verse 21 again. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. There's significance in these items. These aren't just random items, right? So Jesus is telling us this story. Luke is writing it down because he wants us to understand what these items really mean. He says, bring the best robe and put it on him. Well, in the ancient world, where it was highly patriarchal in family structure, who do you think has the best robe? The father owns the best robe. So the father is essentially saying, hey, go to my closet, get my robe, you know, the fancy one, right? The one with the embroidery and the gold, you know, what's-its, and bring those and put my robe on my son. And his father's basically saying, you are accepted. The father's saying, you're mine. Matter of fact, once this son has daddy's robe on, who's going to condemn him? Who's going to point the finger at him? Who's going to say, no, you don't belong, after he has the father's robe draped on his shoulders. He says, put a ring on his finger, probably a signet ring, right? A ring, the ring which the father used whenever he was conducting business, whenever he was, you know, transacting business. It's the ring that, you know, you melt the wax and you press the ring in, right? It's his symbol of authority. And so the father is saying, hey, son, once again, you have your authority as my son. He says, bring sandals and put them on his feet. In the ancient world, only the children wore sandals. Only the sons and daughters of the patriarch had footwear. The servants all went barefoot. He's saying, you came looking and hoping that you could be my servant? No. You're my son. The father says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Do you get that? Do you get that God loves you like that? God wants you to come home. It's not too late. Throughout this whole series of sermons, we've been asking you to wager a prayer. And we've said basically, you've got everything to gain, you've got nothing to lose. We've been asking you to simply pray for 30 days, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And each week, we've kind of added a little bit to that prayer that we've asked you to pray. And so I want to do that again today, this week, every day. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just this week, would you just pray this prayer with me? Would you pray, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the awareness that I am unconditionally loved as your child. God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the awareness that I'm unconditionally loved as your child. It would be so amazing if this week, as you begin to pray that prayer, if you would begin to experience God's love in just these inexplicable ways, that God's love would wash over you and you would realize that you're unconditionally loved as His child, that you can come home, that you can rest your feet beneath His table once again, that you are not rejected, you are not a pariah, that you're deeply loved, totally accepted, forgiven, and fully pleasing because of what Jesus did for you. Paul Tournier was a psychologist, and he once compared life to a person hanging from a trapeze. You know, like the circus, the trapeze. Tournier said that the bar that, you know, you hang on to, that trapeze bar that you're clinging to, it represents a person's security. It represents a person's pattern of existence. It represents that person's lifestyle. Right? And we cling to that. It's what we know. It's what's secure. It's what's stable. And as we're swinging back and forth through the air, we're holding on to that. And here's what happens. God comes along and He swings another bar out towards you, another trapeze bar, right? And it represents your identity in Christ, who you are as a child of God. Here's the tricky thing. In order to grasp that second bar, the one that God swings toward you, you first have to do what? You let go. You got to let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. Your pattern of existence, your lifestyle, that your security, that thing you know. In order to grasp a hold of what God wants for you, your full identity as His child, in order for you to grab a hold of that, you've got to let go of the bar. What do you need to let go of this morning in order to fully embrace who you are in Jesus Christ? For some of you, you need to let go of shame. You know that the enemy's been whispering in your ear for far too long, you're not lovable. You're a failure. You can never change. You can't come home. No more second chances. I'm sorry, none for you. For some of you, you know, it's painful, but it's what you know. And some of you need to let go of that shame today and in faith embrace the fact that God loves you and wants you to come home. For some of you, it's pride. It's that whole, I can do this on my own. I can fix this myself. I don't need anybody's help. I will do this. And that pride has kept you from coming to God and embracing His help. It's kept you from realizing that God loves you and wants you as His child to come home to Him. And you need to let go of that pride today. For some of you, it's this destructive habit that you've been clinging to. Maybe it's, you know, you find your comfort in shopping at the mall. You find your comfort in drinking alcohol. You find your comfort in watching pornography. You find your comfort in popping pills or taking drugs, right? And you know, it's a living hell that you're in, right? But it's what you know. It's the trapeze bar that you've been hanging on to for so long. And in order to really embrace your identity as God's child, you're going to have to let go of whatever that is. You got to let go of it. You've got to embrace the help that God offers to you. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have a time of response. And during this time, you'll have the opportunity to come to one of these tables and share in this communion, to eat some bread and drink some juice that reminds you of Jesus' death on the cross, that which made the way for us to come home to God. But at the same time, maybe today's the day for you to take the next step. Today's the day for you to let go of that trapeze bar that you've been white-knuckling for so long. Today's the day for you to say, you know what, today I am going to let go and I'm going to let God have control of my life, maybe for the first time or maybe for the 31st time, right? You're going to do that. And maybe for you, that's a decision that you're going to make publicly. You know, you're going to walk up here and you're going to talk to one of our elders, one of our prayer counselors, and just ask them to pray for you. I know some of you today are taking the next step to join South Lansing Christian Church. You're saying, I want this to be my church home. I'm already part of God's family. Now I want to be part of the South Lansing Christian Church family. And if that's the next step in your life today, if that's the identity that you want to take on today, you know, part of our church family here, man, we invite you to take that. While Wally's playing these songs, while we're sharing this communion, just come up front and find one of our blue lanyard folks and we'll help you take that next step. I know there are some today who've said that they're going to be baptized. That's why our candle's lit today, to remind us that new life that we're going to be seeing in the baptistry in just a few minutes. Some are going to come today and say, the next step for me is to shed my past. My old identity is someone who was doing my own thing. Today I'm going to publicly proclaim my faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sin and to get a fresh start. And some are going to do that today. Maybe you need to do that as well. And you're thinking, well, you know, I didn't bring any clothes. Well, guess what? We baptize people in their street clothes here. That's not a problem, right? If that's a decision that you need to make today, we invite you to make it. Take the next step. Listen, do not walk out of this place today estranged from God, because He wants nothing more than for you, His child, to come home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making a way for us to come home. And I know today that there are people here and you want to place your robe upon them, the best robe, and you want to say, you are mine. And you want to put a ring on their finger and say that your authority is now their authority. And Father, you want to put sandals on their feet and say, no longer a slave to sin, but my child. And so there are some here today who need to come back to you. They used to be with you, feet under the table, resting in you, sharing a meal with you, but they've walked away and they want to come back. And Lord, move in their hearts to know that they can. That they can come back to you. There are some today, Father, who are coming to you for the first time, who are saying, I'm placing my faith, making my faith in Jesus public. And I'm going to be baptized into Him. But there are others, you know, they haven't made that plan, but sitting here right now, they know they need to. And Lord, would you just, in all of our hearts, remind us that we can. That we can come home to you today. Lord, I thank you not just for challenging us to write a new chapter in our faith story, but for providing a place and a way for us to write that new chapter. And as your Holy Spirit comes and works among us right now, as we remember your Son Jesus and what he did for us, I pray, Father, that we all would be moved to understand the incredible love that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.